I just want to meet also the foreign brothers, sisters. Firstly, firstly, I would like to express my greetings to all of you. Then, see this, I think, a very important sort of teaching of Lama Tsongkhapa's teaching. So you, I think, from quite a number of different countries, in spite inconvenient, including climate, and this area is restricted area, so there are some inconvenience, some difficulties. So in spite of that, you all, you say, come. And I think very, very attentively listen. Last few days, you see the teaching. So I appreciate. Thank you. Now today, just a few points I want to tell you. Firstly, we all part of the 7 billion human beings. So naturally, the rest of the 7 billion humanity happy. And their world become more peaceful, more stable, then we everybody get maximum sort of benefit. If world remain turmoil, where?
No, turmoil.
Turmoil. And a society where too much competitive sort of feeling and distrust, then we everybody, you see, get some unhappy sort of experiences. So that's a fact. So therefore, I think we, every single human being of the humanity, I think, you see, have to take some serious concern about humanity on this planet. Then secondly, I consider you all as my friend. Do you consider you are my friend? So as my friend, then naturally, since I, rest of my life, I dedicated my life, well-being of, course, from Buddhist term, entire sentient being, but directly humanity on this planet, then of course other sentient beings on this planet, of course we, you see, directly involved, right? Some direct sort of connection there. So, till my death, I always see, think how to serve them, how to sort of help them. So you consider yourself as a friend of me. So please, my friends, you also should think about these things. So since you are one of your close friend, Tenzin Gyatso, committed that way, So, my friend, please think. You see, try to do something for benefit of others. Then also, another my commitment is, I am Buddhist. As a result of more acquaintance with other traditions, other religious tradition, I fully aware all major world religious tradition have same, more or less same potential about serving humanity or teaching human being about love, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, self-discipline, these things. So there is plenty of reasons we can work together, and also plenty of reasons to respect all these major teachings. So on the basis of mutual respect, mutual admiration, we can promote genuine harmony on the basis of mutual understanding, mutual respect. So you, as my friend, please keep in your mind that point also. Now in this sort of field, sometimes we feel the problem is huge, immense. No one individual seems to say cannot do much. She seems to be helpless. I think that sort of way of thinking, that kind of, sort of impression, right? That kind of, sort of feeling, is, I think, wrong. The change on global level very much depend on community level. The community means combination of individual. So, one individual, you see, make some effort, promotion of human value, promotion of religious harmony, and share with your friend, say, your friend, 10 people, share with 10 people. And each of them also, you see, have another sort of, each 10 sort of friends. That means 100 people. Then 1,000. 10,000. Like that. That's the way, you see, to share, you see, these views and these sort of sense of responsibility. So we individual, all these things, firstly, start from individual level. Individual level, say, I cannot do much. Then expect, see, something, sometimes people call miracle. I think to the Buddhist, miracle from Buddha, I think nonsense. I think about three years ago, I think some of you already sort of heard. I think majority of you may not know, may not heard. About 3 years ago, in Patna, the capital of Bihar State, the Bihar State government constructed one Buddhist temple there, a wonderful temple, very good. So the Bihar State government invited me to participate in that sort of, the open ceremony. So I went there. Then the chief minister, in his chief minister's speech, you see, he mentioned due to Buddha's blessing, his state rapidly
prosper.
He mentioned that. Then, in my turn, my talk, of course, I know the chief minister quite well, so I express that gathering, their meeting. If Bihar states so prosperity,
prosperity
depend on Buddha's blessing, or due to Buddha's blessing, more prosperity can achieve. If that is the case, if that is so, then your poor state much earlier developed, because Buddha's blessing lasts 2,500 years already. Buddha's blessing there. So it is. Then I told, the Buddha's blessing must go through able chief minister's action, not from there. So like that. So you see, I think quite a number of people, you see, believer, you see, they believe they are God or Allah or Buddha. You see, some miracle things through prayer, some miracle things may happen. I think that is unrealistic, particularly according to Buddhism. This is unrealistic. I think sometimes, you see, Buddhist tradition, which include Tantrayana, then so many Buddhas, deities, Bodhisattvas. So, because of that, limitless or helper,
no, countless. We have countless helpers.
So the other day I mentioned,
So the other day I mentioned that you prayed for the blessings from your lamas. And you pray for the spiritual fields to come from the deities, meditational deities. And then you also pray for the your success in your work and practices, which would be actually facilitated by the protected deities.
Almost, you see, one's own sort of achievement of Buddhahood not depend on our own effort, but due to these Buddhas, Bodhisattvas' blessing. So then, if that is the case, then we don't need any effort, just lay down and wait their blessing. Buddha made it very clear, you are your own master. So that is, everything depends on yourself. You see, if you do something wrong, if you develop mental thinking, then you will face negative consequences. Buddha cannot do. Buddha cannot protect you. That's Buddha's way of approach. So therefore, you see, it is quite impossible. Last few thousand years, you see, miracle never happened. So I don't think any possibility some miracle things happen. So we, humanity, ourselves, make effort, can change. I think this major religious tradition, I think the education in different fields, these, firstly, some individual start these things, then make effort, then follow, more and more people follow, then eventually become universal. Like modern education, right from the beginning, never be universal. Some small individuals create certain things. Then people see benefit, then follow more and more people. Eventually that way become universal. So you see, with certain sort of vision, not like educated world, very good, and no longer poverty, disease, wonderful. But so far, in this field, I think many organizations, many government, many individuals really make effort. One thing, seems to see neglect is about inner value. Modern education itself, more or less, I think, materialistic oriented. Because when separate education institutions started in the European continent, perhaps I think 1,000 years ago, at that time, moral principle, you see, taken care by church, development of brain, then taken care by newly established education institution. So at that time, maybe quite balanced. Now in time passes, the religious sort of influence also, you see, some way, sometimes, you see, reduce. And then family value also reduce. So then, meantime, as a result of lack of moral principle, for example, marvelous scientific achievement also sometimes become source of destruction, source of fear. And economy, suppose, you see, bring happiness, satisfaction, prosperity to everybody. But economy development also, you see, create huge gap, rich and poor. Not only global level, but also individual, the national level, also, you see, this gap. Then also, you see, the, in various sort of concerns of the field, corruptions, injustice, violence. All this happened. Even religion also, religious institution also sometimes corrupted. Individual religious person also sometimes corrupted. All this lack of moral principle, lack of self-discipline, that's entirely lack of moral principle, then moral principle is the source of self-discipline, out of awareness. If I do this, immediate some benefit, but long run, harmful. Aware that, deliberately restrain, that is self-discipline. Self-discipline not come from imposed way, order, but through awareness. So moral principle is the key factor. So, we already, I think if present situation go continuously, economy certainly will improve. But then ecology problem also, you see, not adequate check, not adequate measures. These are lack of sort of principle. Think national interest is more important than the global interest. So these also related with moral principle, a lack of oneness of, because of what? Lack of awareness, oneness of humanity. So therefore, see, I think you know more. I think a lot of problems which we are facing is essentially a lack of moral principle. So therefore, we have to make effort to promote moral principle. If moral principle based on religious faith, then it becomes very narrow. Quite large number of non-believer. Then no way to make awareness these people the importance of moral principle. So we must find secular way to promote these things through awareness. So here I must say, secular does not mean disrespect religion. According to Indian understanding, about secular means respect all religions, even respect non-believers. That's India's understanding. Over 2,000 years, almost 3,000 years, You see, this kind of sort of concept, there's a meaning of secularism, secularism. So today, India's constitution based on secularism. So therefore, in India, basically, all major religious traditions live together here. Occasionally, some problems here and there. That's understandable. But overall, this country, I think, really remarkable. Because of secularism, respect all religions, and also a non-believer. So I think since India take as an example, a living example, so I think we can learn from this tradition. So I always try to make clear, irrespective whether believer or non-believer, the ultimate source of happiness, inner peace, is moral principle. What is moral principle? Some kind of belief God or some mysterious things, not that. Love, affection, which we received maximum way from our mother. We are already equipped. Because of biologically, the affection from our mother, from our friend, is so important. So a person who lives in atmosphere of affection, the physical growth, physical well-being, much better. Individual who lives constant fear, constant suspicion, very harmful for their body health, physical health. So our physical very much related with human affection. Because biologically, that's one of the important sort of factor for our survival. That's the important factor of beginning of our life. So now scientists clearly sort of demonstrated where? No. Constant fear, anger, hatred, actually eating our immune system. Whereas more compassionate mind, that brings inner strength, self-confidence. That brings inner peace. That creates automatically much more easier to communicate with other human brothers, sisters. Keeping here fear, then automatically you remain distant from the rest of the community. That brings loneliness, very bad for our health. So therefore, these are moral principles based on biological factor, nothing to do with religion. All major religions actually, you see, realize that fact, then utilize different philosophy. Some say, oh, there's God, infinite love. And we Buddhists say Buddha, like that. So all major religious tradition, you see, they realize that value and utilize different philosophical sort of views as a sort of way of approach, right? Promote these things. So now we, in modern time, without relying on religion, if you have religion, it's very good to add that practice. Even without religion, use our common sense and common experience, you get conviction, right? Inner peace is very important for our health, for a healthy family, for a healthy marriage. Everything very much related with trust. After all, we human beings, social animal. The key factor to bring together, to remain harmony, that's trust, friendship. Friendship, even animal, like bees, and some ants, some other sort of bigger animal, those social animal, they have no religious faith, no constitution, no police, no government, But biologically, they know individuals' well-being depend on rest of the community, their community. So we also social animal. So we need friendship. Friendship entirely based on trust. Trust based on honest. Truthful, honest, then develop trust. If you remain suspicious way, where? Remain distance, how can expect trust from other? No. False, never. False creates fear. Fear is just opposite of trust. Money? No. I think those billionaire, I know quite well, very rich, but as a person, very unhappy person. So money fail, bring inner peace. Sometimes money, you see, brings more suspicion, more distrust, ultimately more loneliness. So therefore, the only sort of emotion or I think only mental factor which brings honest, truthful is self-confidence. Self-confidence also, you see, two kinds. Blind self-confidence, that's dangerous. But self-confidence with positive reason, that is a genuine sort of source of, because of honest, truthful. So, positive self-confidence entirely depends on sense of well-being of other, concern of well-being of other. Once that is there, then very basis which usually creates fear, suspicion, they're no longer there. You trust you as a human brother, sisters. You sincerely show them your sincerity and tell truthful, honest. Through that way, we develop genuine trust, genuine friendship. Then everybody within that atmosphere, very happy. Clear. So therefore, whether religious, accept religion or not, you must realize these basic human values. So firstly, you yourself, think more under sort of different style of hair, same brain. So think more, whether it's a shaved head or long hair, doesn't matter. The brain is same. So hairstyle or size of nose, not much related with human intelligence. So we all have the same human intelligence. Now think, utilize human intelligence unbiasedly, objectively, and read some of the scientific findings, and also look world events, or events within your own neighbors, those neighbor, you see, who have more compassionate sort of, family, much happier, less fear. Those are family neighbors, very rich, luxurious cars, and luxurious sort of building, but lack of human affection, so full also of distrust, suspicion, loneliness. They never have sort of, because of joyful life. So you see, use our common sense. You see, study, like that. So that's the way to promote human value. Human value itself is secular ethics. So the way to promote that, also generally speaking, theistic, secular way, like that. Then on top of that, if you add some sort of, for example here, some Buddhist method, or sort of Buddhist reasons, also immense help to increase or strengthening these basic human values. So please think more these things. Then, firstly, you yourself should commit it. These values should be part of your daily life. Then share with more people. That's the way. And actually, some group, some scientists, some educationists, last few years, as a result of discussion, the importance of secular ethics and modern education system that's lacking. So we already start some work, some research work, how to introduce in the modern education system these secular ethics, how to include in the modern education system. So now next month, we're going to discuss in Delhi some concerned professors, some scientists, like that. So we are hoping, I think next year or after that, we may finalize some draft sort of proposal how to introduce. So here, my friend, you should think more in these things. Then try to promote inner peace yourself. Then that share with more your friends. And then religious harmony also is a similar way. That's my main point I want to share with you. It's one thing. And then now, I always see concern about preservation of Tibetan Buddhist culture. And I usually make distinction, Buddhism and Buddhist culture. Similarly, Christian religion and Christian culture. Always Muslim religion, Muslim culture. Always there. Because culture means related with the society, a community. Religion mainly related with individual. So here also is a Buddhist religion, Buddhist culture, two things. I have sort of very clear example. Tibetan Muslim community. You see, their religion is Islam, very faithful Islam. But their way of life is very much in the spirit of Buddhist culture. For example, this year I visited a Tibetan Muslim community, their main sort of community established in Srinagar. So this summer I visited them. So you see, they kept not only Buddhist culture, but also they kept Tibetan language very well. So their children, very young children, they speak Tibetan very fluently. So they kept, you see, Tibetan language in their family like that. So now, Tibetan Buddhism, of course, for Buddhists. But Buddhist culture, I think, I usually describe Buddhist culture is culture of peace, culture of non-violence, culture of compassion. So that kind of culture is, I think, very relevant, whether Buddhist or non-Buddhist or non-believer. I think that kind of culture is something quite useful. I think worthwhile to preserve. So while we exile community, right from the beginning, Our main concern, main effort is preservation of Tibetan culture. So since Tibetan culture is Buddhist culture, therefore it depends on knowledge about Buddha Dharma. So in this refugee community, a bigger community, bigger settlement, you see, we established this historical important learning center like Drepung, Ganden, Sera, and also in Belakobi, the Namdrilling, one of the very important Nyingma the monastic institution in East Tibet. So they're re-established there. So these are major learning center. So I think you should observe the monk student. Usually, you see, they, in order to become a scholar or knowledgeable about Buddhist philosophy, they usually at least 20 years nowadays, because less was the number of students. In previously, in Tibet, in order to become final examination, usually it should take 30 years. So sometimes I jokingly say, telling people, the Tibetan who study these sort of big monastic institution, many of them come from different part of world, different part of Tibet, so long distance. So they only say around 10, 15 years old. Otherwise, it's difficult to reach. So therefore, when they enter the monastic institution, their age already 15, like that. So then 30 years, 15, 25, 35, 45. No. Then further study some other tantric college, another few years. Then already 50. So when they completed their study, they also reach time of die. So when they completed their study, then real retirement also then come to near like that. So I think we, as usually I mentioned, you see, Tibetan Buddhism is truly lineage of Nalanda tradition. So I think now you already witnessed these few thousand monks. They at least 20 years they study. You see, this is the way to preserve the Nalanda tradition. Firstly, root text wrote by those Nalanda masters, and 2nd century, 3rd century, possibly next few centuries, the Nalanda institution is the key factor, major sort of the most important learning center in Buddhism, of Buddhism in India. I think Takshashila, then Nalanda, then Brikamalashila, but these three institutions, I think historically very, very important learning center. So the person who introduced Buddhism in Tibet, himself, his name, Shanta Rakshita, come from Nalanda, one of the top master of Nalanda. He invited by Tibetan emperor, 8th century. So he introduced Buddhism in Tibet with help of Pema Sambhava. Main teacher, ordination, as well as the explanation, these philosophical things, and then also logics he taught. So we truly follow Nalanda tradition as our beloved teacher Shanta Rakshita taught us. So now, while in the last, I think, almost 1,000 years, we Tibetans, you see, kept it that way. Then, for example, this monastery, about 600 years. So I think 600 years, I think six centuries, I think they produce a lot of Gajodha scholars or because they practitioners. So they cover all over Tibet like that. Remain like that many centuries. Politically divided. Amdo area, Kham area, and central Tibet. You see, politically, you see, they're under different administration. Only central Tibet and western Tibet is an independent, de facto independent state, like that. So other political jurisdiction under the Chinese different provinces. But language, basically language, and then these Buddhist study all over Tibet, same. So that we last a few centuries, we preserve a few centuries or even the last 1,000 years, we preserve Buddhist study through that way. So while we remain outside as a refugee community, we try our best to preserve that tradition through rigorous study. So you already witnessed that. So some people who have some showing interest about Buddhism, about Tibetan Buddhism, then tell them the Tibetan Buddhist tradition is Nalanda tradition. So they carry, even difficult circumstances, they carry the effective way to preserve this tradition quite rigorously, like that. So of course, among 1,000 people, some rubbish people also there, stupid people there, but overall picture, as you know, I think these people really, now last over 50 years, they really carry sincerely study and practice. So I just, before coming here, I met teachers of different colleges. I met them, I expressed my appreciation, and so I mentioned certain things to them. So that's the way Tibetan community in a free country, how to preserve Tibetan Nalanda tradition of Buddha Dharma. So that's all. Thank you. Now I also looking forward to more comfortable hotels, and climatically also it's cooler. I'm looking forward. I think many of you also looking forward to more comfortable area, comfortable place. Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you. See you again somewhere. Thank you. So anyway, whether we meet or not, you see, those are also the point which mentioned Lama Tsongkhapa, I think really beautifully, logically. So think more these things and then try to implement as much as possible. Clear? Those people who have not much sort of interest about Buddhism and consider himself or herself not as a believer, then these, you see, the philosophical viewpoints as an academic subject, quite interesting, isn't it? These are things. I think one time I met one sort of Indian scientist, quantum physicist, one Indian, nuclear physicist, Rajaramana, few years ago. He told me, he as a the nuclear physicist, and he mentioned he found one Nagarjuna's writing. He found the concept of quantum physics already there. So he, as an Indian, you see, he proud. He feel very proud. The quantum physics in modern, you see, in modern world is something new sort of concept, right? And in India, 2,000 years ago, already that concept already, you see, found. He mentioned that. So this as an academic subject, not as a religious sort of subject, but simply academic subject, I think quite interesting to study and discuss Western philosopher, Western thinkers, and also scientists. I think quite useful. Thank you. Thank you much.